you brought a cell phone in with you this morning, would you take a moment and turn it to vibrate or turn it off? We'd appreciate your cooperation. Take your songbook, turn to page number 408. Let's stand together as we sing Joy to the World. 408.
Thank you. 1 today. Luke chapter number 1. Don't forget the Christmas cantata and candlelight service coming up Friday the 13th. And then again, we'll do just the cantata on Sunday morning the 15th as well. Home for Christmas is the cantata package that we've chosen this year. And I think you'll enjoy it. Come out and be a part of it. Invite folks to the Christmas candlelight service at the conclusion of the cantata on Friday the 13th. We'll have a candlelight service as well. Christmas outreach opportunities this year, we've kind of went a little different. We used to do we did a Christmas tree, an angel Christmas tree, and we would ask you to just draw a name for one of the young kids in the church ministries, and would just have an age and a date. But I prayed about it this year, and I asked my wife to let the other ministries know that we are not going to do that this year. They can do their own Christmas party. This year, Christmas falls on a Wednesday night, and we'll be having service here. And I thought it'd be good after church, anybody that want to get in the church bus with us, and we'd ride over to the emergency rooms that are local, and we'd take a gift to those workers that are going to be there. And what it's going to be is a pair of socks of some sort, whatever you buy, wrapped with a church tract, a candy cane, and if you could bring any $5 gift card, if you want to purchase one and bring them, Dunkin' Donuts, Krispy Kremes, Taco Bell, anything, just a small $5 gift card of some place that they can get something, you know, just quick. And we're going to go after church Sunday, Wednesday evening on Christmas Day, and we're going to take those and deliver them. If you're available, fine. If not, I'll be going myself. It doesn't matter. It's coming from the church. It's not coming from me. So that is what we're doing. We're not doing the angel Christmas tree this year. I believe the Lord just laid it on my heart that we do something outside of the church. For folks that are working on our behalf. I know if you had a heart attack that Christmas Day, you'd be thankful the ambulance is working. So that's what we're going to do, our first responders. And I'm not sure where we're going to go yet, but there will be plenty of hospitals open. And we're going to go to the emergency room of one of them and distribute those to the workers. So, if you had your heart set on an angel Christmas tree, I'm sure you can look around you and see some of the kids that are here. And if God lays your heart on you to give them a gift, I'm sure those kids are not going to fight you. So you do whatever the Lord lays on your heart. But I believe this is where the Lord would lead us this year as a church and our Christmas outreach. And our nursing home outreach, we've done blankets, we've done socks, we've done a bunch of things. This year, I think my wife really thought that they could use some travel-sized personal products and deodorants and things of that nature. There's a note here and there in the bulletin that covers all that. So if you'll take a minute, look at that, and if you can be a help in those areas in our Christmas outreach this year, that will be a blessing. If you cannot, that's okay. Your prayers are a blessing. You just pray for those that are able to, and the Lord will take care of the rest. Good to see folks that have been traveling back, that have been out of town, out of state, out of country, and good to have them back as well. Luke chapter number 1. This is our third message on the birth of Christ series this year. We started in the middle of November, and now we're into our third message, and this one is found in Luke chapter number 1, and verse number 78 and 79 today. Luke chapter 1, verse 78 and 79. Now, Gabriel has had two important messages that he delivered from heaven. One was to Zacharias, announcing that John the Baptist would be born of Elizabeth, and he would pave the way straight. And after the birth of John the Baptist, Zechariah actually prophesied, beginning in this chapter, verses 67 through 80. And this is part of that prophecy, which we're going to look at today. The second announcement was to Mary, and Mary would receive the news here in this chapter that she, being a virgin, would bring forth a child, and he would be the Messiah. And Mary went and spent 3 months living and waiting with Elizabeth, and you can find that in verses 39 through 56, if you want to go back and read that. Now, here's part of the prophecy that Zacharias prophesied concerning the Messiah. Luke chapter 1, verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring. That's a word, a poetic word that is used for the dawn or the sunrise. It says, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. And this is why he visited, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. So John the Baptist was born, and he would pave or make way or make straight the way of the Lord. You look in verse 76 there, and thou child shalt be called the prophet of the highest, talking about John the Baptist. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. And so John the Baptist was born, and now the prophecy of Zacharias, and he said, this is why the day spring from on high, verse 78, would appear. And what exactly does that mean to you and I? What does that have to do with us today? And at the meaning of this prophecy, in verse 79, the Bible says to give light to them that sit in darkness. Christ came, dear friend, as he came, the light of the world, and he dispelled darkness. That's been God's way from the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, some of you probably know this. And God said what? Let there be light. This has been God's way from the very beginning. What does God say to us in the New Testament, in the Gospels? He said, they love what? Because their deeds are evil. They love darkness. So from the very beginning, God has been about dispelling darkness. In John chapter number 8, if you would flip there, hold your place in Luke, it's going to be right back. In John chapter number 8, the Gospel of John, chapter number 8. So in creation, God was about getting rid of darkness and said, let there be light. In John chapter number 8 and verse number 12, John chapter 8 and verse number 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So the prophecy of John, of Zacharias, about the Lord Jesus Christ, goes along with what Scripture says. God said, let there be light in Genesis 1:3. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus himself confirms, he says, I am the light of the world. Now in our daily walk, this is what God wants from us. Over in 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 7, we'll return back to Luke, so if you'll hold your place there. 1 John chapter number 1 and verse 7, this is what God says about light. He says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And behold, and in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, His Son cleanses us from all sin. So when Zechariah promised, this is prophesied, he said, to give light to them that sit in darkness. This meaning was that those that sit in darkness, there will have opportunity, the grace of God has appeared to all men, they would have opportunity to have the light of Christ, the light of the world, the Messiah, to shine forth in their light, and Jesus came to bring light into our lives. For we were dead in trespasses and sin, according to Ephesians chapter number 1 and chapter 2 and verse 1. We were dead in trespasses and sin, and He brought light into our life. And so that is why this prophecy was made, that the day spring, the sunrise, the dawn of mankind would come, because God would send forth His Son, the only begotten Son of God, and He would die upon the cross, and we that believe and trust in Him would have eternal life and everlasting life through the light of this world, which is Jesus Christ, the righteous. Secondly, He said there, to give light to them that sit in the shadow of death. I believe that includes all of us. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27, it is appointed unto man once to die. So we all sit in the shadow of death. That's why the light appears to all men. That's why the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has been presented, that all might see that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Who wants to hide that from us? For the God of this world, Satan, the devourer, the liar, the chief, the one that would destroy, and he would steal and rob and cheat you out of eternal life. The God of this world has hid and blinded the eyes of those who have not heard, lest they should hear and believe the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is blinded. He wants you in that darkness. What fellowship has those that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior, what fellowship should we have with this old dark world? None whatsoever. We're passing through. We're here for a moment to be a reflector of that great light, because we once sit in the shadow of dark. Do you understand that each one of us are a heartbeat away from eternity? Each one of us. Don't just bang, and eternity is there. I mean, it's just one heartbeat. It's appointed unto man once to die. We don't know when that heartbeat is going. Pastor, you're kind of morbid. Death is reality. It's not morbid. And I'm not trying to scare you. But we're appointed to die. One heartbeat. And we step into eternity. And eternity has two places of abode: heaven and hell. One that has been paid for by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by faith in Him, we spend eternity in heaven. And then hell, which was created for the devil and his angels, and those that do not trust Christ as the light of the world or the path of life, will spend eternity in hell. As long as eternity is in heaven, that's the same length of time in hell. For everlasting to everlasting. And so the light came that those that sit in the shadow of death may understand that He is the light of the world. And as the light of the world, He wants light in our lives. That life and that light comes through faith in Him as the Lamb of God. Now, here's the thing. The open tomb
I know this ain't about Easter, but the open tomb, when he rolled away the stone, when that stone was put there by Pilate and it was sealed and had guards, and when it rolled away, it was so that we could see the empty tomb. But the whole thing is, the light of the world conquered the dark tomb. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And so the light of the world has come. And he done it several times in his earthly ministry. You remember Jairus, the daughter of Jairus there. She was dead, and all of a sudden Jesus happened upon the scene. And next thing we know, he brought forth life again into it. And then the son of the widow of Nain, he laid there dead. And Christ showed up on the scene and he brought forth life. And the light of the world shined life into that life once again. And he was raised from the dead. How about his friend, Lazarus? Hey, Lazarus is dead. Come forth, Lazarus. And the light. And the same way that they were dead and the light of Christ shined into their life, we were dead in trespass and sin. We were sitting in the shadow of darkness, and we put faith and trust in him. And he says, whosoever shall call upon me shall be saved. And we were, life was breathed into us by the Holy Spirit of God, and we were born again because of the light of the world, and his light shined into our life. So what does this mean? What does this prophecy mean? It meant that Christ gives light to those in darkness. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It means that Christ gives light to those that are in the shadow of death. From the moment we're born, our days are numbered. We're in the shadow of death. I know, listen, you can get in the light. We're right here. I don't know if you can see. You can't see my shadow there, but maybe over here. You can see a little bit. Look at there. Little old bitty bald head right down there. But sometimes if the light is just right, my little bald head won't be here. My big bald head will be out yonder. The shadow of life is not determined by where we are or who we are, but it is numbered by God. Our days are numbered. So our shadow might be, it might run out right here. It might run out there. It might run out way out there. It might. But what I'm saying is, we might be 1 year old, 7 years old, 12 years old, 22 years old, 42 years old, 62 years old, 100 years old. But there comes a time where the shadow is over and death arrives. And we're all in the shadow of death. That's what this is talking about. But we don't have to fear, because the light of this world has conquered death, hell, and the grave. What does he want to do with us? Let's read again. Verse 79. To give light to them that sit in darkness. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in the shadow of death. We all have an appointment with death. But he wants to guide our feet into the way of peace. Walking through this dark world, knowing that our days are numbered, we can have peace from God on high, because it's God that gives peace that passeth all understanding, and that peace comes because we put faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold your place here and look at Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. Verse 1, therefore, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope and in the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due times Christ died for the ungodly. We sit in that darkness. The shadow of death was there, but the Spirit of God moved in and began to guide us and show us that, hey, we're sinners. We're alienated against God. We're headed to a place of abode where the devil and his angels will be forever and ever and ever in this place called hell. But by faith in Christ, we can be reconciled to God, and the light will guide us from the moment we're born again until we exit this world, just like it did in Luke 16, when the beggar died, the angels came and they carted him off or carried him off and presented him to God in heaven. That's the guide. The guide starts the author and finisher of our faith, according to Hebrews chapter 12. And He wants to guide us through, though the days be difficult, though our feet walk through some tiresome times in life, though there be troublesome times in our heart, this peace that we enjoy through God is to know that He's going to guide us through this life all the way into eternity, and we will spend eternity with Him. In John chapter 14, if you don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be disturbed. Don't be bothered by the things of this earth. You believe in me and believe in God. Believe also in me, the Bible says. And He says there's many mansions in my Father's house. I'm going to go prepare your place. And as I prepare your place, I'm going to come again. And where I am, He's in heaven. He's in eternity. Where I am, because of your faith and trust in me, because you believed in God, you believed also in me, and where I am, there ye may be also. How does that happen? By faith in Christ, the light of the world, and then the Holy Spirit of God guides us through this life which we live in. Is peace for you more than just a simple word? What was the message that the shepherds heard that day? Peace. Unto who? Unto a few? Unto the world? Peace is available. But that peace only comes from the Prince of Peace. It doesn't come through religious works. Religious works will lead you down a dark world, a dark road. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by His mercy, by His grace, by His works at the cross of Calvary, are we justified by God through Christ Jesus. Peace. Have you found peace today? See, this is what the prophecy was all about. Zechariah prophesied in this day before the Messiah was born that you and I might know that the light of this world is here for us to guide us, show us, and to help us to understand that we sit in darkness, we walk in darkness, and that we are sitting in the shadow of death, but He doesn't want us to be left there. He wants to guide us to eternal life. That's the whole job of the Holy Spirit. If you was to study the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus said, listen, I've got to go. But I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He's going to come and He's going to guide you. And so as He guides us through this life, Jesus wants us to have a lasting peace. Sometimes, listen, we can work up some peace. Sometimes just being silent brings peace, doesn't it? Sometimes even the silence is deafening, isn't it? We can work up some peace, but lasting peace comes from God. Now here's some questions I got for you, and we're done. This is a prophecy given to Zacharias that the Holy Spirit of God moved on him. How do you know that, Pastor? Verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying. So the Holy Ghost moved on men of old, and the scriptures were given and written down for us. So this is a message from God. He wants us to understand it. So as the Holy Ghost moved upon Zacharias, that we might have the Word of God today and be able to read this prophecy, what does the birth of Christ mean to you? We've heard for 20, 25, 30 years now. Let's get Christ out of the season. Let's put Xmas there. Is that all this birth means to you, is that Christ is back in the season? Is it just that Jesus is a reason for the season? I declare unto you, dear friend, that Jesus is the only reason for the season. Not just so we can get Christ back in Christmas and get rid of Xmas. Not so we can get on our Facebook page and mark down all the people that don't celebrate Christmas. They put holiday or Xmas Day or whatever. If that's your only purpose for salvation, dear friend, you have missed the boat. It's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas is just not another religious holiday. We celebrate the birth of the Messiah that brought light into this world that we might have eternal life. Let's read the prophecy again. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Praise God. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. You know what the Bible says in John 10:10? Jesus came that we might have life, and life more abundant. Life more abundant. So what does the birth of Christ mean to you, dear friend? It means to me that He brought light into this world. That He knew I was sitting at the doorstep of eternity. And He didn't want me to spend eternity in hell. So He guided my life so that I could hear the gospel message and I'd have opportunity to put faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, Christ wants to bring light into our life. Light for your darkness. Even after salvation. How many of you have some pretty dark days after you've been saved? You lost a loved one? You had relationship problems. You had financial problems. Those are dark days. But in those dark days, He still wants you to have light. He still wants you to have light. Light, listen, when the death shadow cast around your family. Brother Cole just had to go back and do a funeral. Even in those moments, He wants to shine the light around your life. When that death shadow falls across your family or a friend or a loved one, He wants you to know, I am still the light of the world. Amen. I'm still the light of the world. What is He going? He wants to light up our life that we might reflect Christ so that others might see that, hey, we're just a tad bit different. We're unique. We're peculiar. Why is that? Because Christ, the hope of glory, lives within us, the light of the world. You're better than an Energizer bunny rabbit. It's going to eventually run out. I don't care how many commercials they make over. Show the little rabbit. It don't matter. He's going to run out of energy. But you and I that know Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, we step out of this life into eternity and we just go on into... Listen, matter of fact, the Bible puts it better than that. The Bible says in Ephesians that once we trust Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we're already as if we're seated in heaven. That's how sure salvation is. We're already there. Because of the promises of God are yea and amen. What does the birth of Christ mean to you? It meant a lot to Zacharias. When Zacharias was was made dumb. He couldn't speak because of the lack of faith when he saw the promises of God fulfilled. And they were trying to figure out, what's his name, what's his name, what's his name? And he said, his name shall, give me some paper. His name shall be John. That was faith in God's plan. God brought out a broken tongue or a sealed tongue, and he began to speak for God. What happens? When you get saved, you want to tell people. When you trust Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, you want to let the light of Christ shine in your life so others can see. Will there be a dim moment every now and then? Oh, sure, because we live in this body of flesh. But he wants to light you up for Christ. Like a spring of living water. He wants you to be like a city sitting on a hill that the world might see Christ in you. So Christmas means a whole lot more than somebody fighting over a TV. A whole lot more. Went the other day, bought some Christmas stuff for the church out here for the Life Center over here, because it was just sitting there. I said, this would be a good place. Got it over here, got one of them lights. It done traveled all the way from China. Plugged it in, and guess what? It didn't work. Brand new. Didn't work. Sent it with Brother Jim. Brother Jim swapped out the lights, and it worked. You know what happens? You were born in this foreign land, alienated from God. When you were born out of your mama's womb. Brother Rick, mama's womb. That's God's plan. When you were born, you was born with your light bulb out. Darkness. And you had to be born again by faith in Christ. And you got plugged in, light bulb changed through grace and mercy, and now your light should shine. Brother Jim, if I plug that thing in tonight and it don't work, they're going to take this here and turn my illustration all around. Faith in Christ and your light will shine. Christmas means a whole lot more. And should mean a whole lot more once you've been saved. Should be. Shame on you, dear friend, if on Black Friday you went out and got in a fight. It's more blessed to give than receive. Well, Pastor, I had to have that blender. I sure hope your testimony is worth a little bit more than a blender. You know, when you get saved, you represent God. And every day should be a Christmas gift. Every time you open your eyes up, it's like unwrapping life again. And I have another day to shine for Christ. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Pianist is coming. Brother Jim, what page? 375. Maybe your light's been a little dim this year. Why don't you come and find a place with God and let him give you that peace once again that you know that's in there. Because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So that your light, the light of God that's in you, may shine brighter each and every day.